It's a ruckus number 12. Welcome to the ruckus number 12. Today on the ruckus, the spirits come alive.
But of course, there's always my way.
Crash, crash.
That's only a joke that you know if you live in close proximity to a Disneyland.
That's not true. People come to Disneyland all the time and they go on the ride and...
I don't think they memorize it the way we do, though, you know?
Maybe they do, because one of them followed them home.
Right. What's today's episode about?
Lawnmowers and lawnmower repair.
Oh!
It's about ghosts, of course.
Should we start with the news?
I'd like to.
Okay.
It seems like the way we normally run things over here at the Ruckus. I'm Justin.
And I'm Rachel.
This is the Ruckus. Get ready to be scared. When we go to London,
okay,
if there was a job specifically designed that you knew you were born to fulfill, this is the one for me. I could fulfill this job so well, and it's available in London.
And this is your news. I'm excited. Let's hear it.
Getting paid to drink.
Oh, shit.
Found drinking companions to join elderly gentlemen for a friendly beer at his local pub. Mike Hammond was bombarded with offers after advertising in his village post office for someone to accompany his 88-year-old father, Jack, on visits to a southern England pub from a nursing home. Basically what happened in London is this guy put an ad up at his post office saying that he needed drinking companions for his dad.
His dad's in a nursing home.
His dad, Jack, yeah.
For when he goes to the pub.
Yeah, he needs somebody to go with him to the pub. And hang out.
I'd totally do that. That'd be fun. Hang out with an old man, drink beer. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like a great job?
I mean, unless he was gross, a gross old man, in which case, no. But
it doesn't sound like it. To me, it sounds like he just wants people to hang out with. As a matter of fact, the job has been filled by two gentlemen. So it's a couple of guys. So it's not like he's looking for an escort or anything like that. It really sounds like a total, like, my dad's 88 years old. He needs people to hang out with. Why not you?
Yeah, now the old guy's got like a crew. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so they get £7 an hour, which is about $14 for us here, plus expenses, which means...
The beer.
Yes.
Excellent.
And after sifting through the applicants, they found that drinking duties are to be divided between a retired doctor and a former military man.
Oh, it sounds like fascinating conversation. I'd want to hang out with those guys, too.
Yeah, so, like, the doctor can tell him about his health, and the military man could remind him of when he was young.
And killing people.
Right.
So there's this penguin named Pierre. Do you know about Pierre?
No, I don't.
In Northern California, and most penguins live, like, to be 15 in the wild, and he's been in captivity. He's a whopping 25 years old, Pierre. And the thing is that because he's so old, he's starting to lose, like, some feathers, like, around his butt and on top of his head. He's got a little pink butt and a little pink head. And the feathers keep him warm. And so all of his little penguin friends are, like, frolicking in the water. And Pierre is just, he won't go in the water and he's all shaking and cold. Poor little guy. And also the other penguins won't talk to him because he's going bald. So they made a wetsuit for him. Made a little wetsuit for Pierre, and now he goes in the water, and also he's starting to grow back his feathers so that the other penguins will talk to him. That's my new story.
Did they make the wetsuit look like a penguin body?
Yeah, they had to try several fittings. They, you know, had to keep altering it, and it fits him perfectly. It's very cute. You can see pictures of it on the internet. We should maybe post it.
Raise your flipper, sir. Raise your other flipper.
Isn't that cute?
It's like a little
penguin
tailor
in a wetsuit.
So, but does he look like a penguin when he's wearing the wetsuit? Like, will the other penguins hang out with him when he's just
wearing
it?
Yeah, his head and his butt are both exposed, but it keeps his midriff area warm, you know, so he's able to go into the water. And I don't know what was causing, I suspected it was old age, but I don't really know, but what was causing his feathers to go away. But apparently they're starting to grow back a little bit now, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, Pierre's good. Happy again.
Good for Pierre. This is exciting news. It presupposes that you are familiar with testicle hitches. Have you ever been driving down the freeway and you see...
Oh, I hate those things.
The testicles hanging from the back of a truck or something like that?
They're just terrible.
Tallahassee, Florida. Senate lawmakers in Florida have voted to ban the fake bull testicles that dangle from the trailer hitches of many trucks and cars throughout the state.
Thanks, sweet Jesus.
And they're saying that they're bull testicles, but I don't know. Like, I never assigned an animal attribute to them.
I just figured they were the car's testicles. I don't care what the testicles came from. They're just vile.
Yeah, their senator called the adornments offensive and proposed the ban. Motorists will be fined $60 for displaying the novelty items, which are known by brand names like Truck Nuts and resemble the south end of a bull moving north.
Man, I'm so happy to hear that. I hope that catches on. They need to do that in California because I just don't want to be behind those cars. Like, I want to get away from them as soon as possible.
Well, you know what? The thing about it is those Truck Nuts things, it's almost a good thing that they are there because when you see them, it just identifies, like, this is a person I couldn't possibly have a single thing in common with, like in a conversation. Probably when the guy pulls up to the office with the testicles hanging off of his truck, probably somebody I'm not going to end up eating lunch with.
Oh, I guess it speeds up the elimination process.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. So my story is different, but it does relate to male reproductive organs. Guess why the police in the Congo have arrested 13 suspected sorcerers?
Because they have nuts on their trucks.
No. They've been accused of using black magic to steal or shrink men's penises. And this is kind of a nice segue into our topic because sorcery and witchcraft in the Congo and in Africa is totally normal. Like, it's everyday stuff. I mean, my God, the police are arresting suspected sorcerers. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's hysterical. Apparently what's been happening is these guys go around and they touch you and they tell you they've cursed you. And unless you pay them money, they won't reverse the curse. And so these men are actually going to the police station and complaining that their penises are shrinking or that they're not there at all. And they're totally freaked out. And the police officers are like, you know, I tell these guys, like, it's right there, but they don't believe me. Like, they won't. And that's the thing, is that black magic is so pervasive in people's consciousness that they will literally convince themselves that their penis is not there. And anyway, the last time this happened, there was panic and attempted lynchings of the sorcerers. So that's why the police are actually arresting people. They don't normally arrest people, but they're arresting people to keep people from getting hurt real bad.
They don't normally arrest the sorcerers.
No, they don't normally do that. They don't normally get involved, apparently.
So now the sorcerers are getting arrested for shrinking the penises.
Well, isn't it better that they're arrested than being lynched?
I think it's better that they get arrested than nothing happened to them at all.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Because, you know, they are running a scam and they are fucking with people.
That's true.
You know, yeah, to hell with those guys.
Isn't that wonderfully crazy?
That is insane. I would be terrified if I thought my penis was disappearing. I'd want to arrest him. I'd be terribly, terribly concerned.
The mind is a powerful thing. That's all I got to say. That's why voodoo and shit works in those places. Like, they totally believe it.
You totally have to believe it in order for it to work on you.
Oh, totally. Well, we'll get to more on that in a couple of minutes. But first, Justin's got some fantastic new music to share.
All right. So we have actually a very special treat for everybody who actually listens to the show on a regular basis. As you know, our intro and outro music is all performed by a very talented musician. It's one guy, goes by the name of Outside Residential. Of course, we fucking love Outside Residential in a way that is almost biblical. We love that band. The song we're going to play today is off of the album Mechanical Rabbit Hatch, and it is called Can You Find Me, Mommy?
Can you find me, Mommy? I'm hiding in the radio.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
Can you find me, Mommy?
I'm hiding in the radio.
I love you, Mommy.
mommy. I love you, mommy.
Can you find me, mommy? I'm hiding in the radio.
I love you, mommy.
Such a wonderful song.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
It really captures the essence of what it means to be a lost baby inside of a radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot of people know this, but that part of the little kid?
Yeah.
That was Dakota Fanning.
No kidding.
That was her first acting job.
Oh. No, I didn't know that. I thought that was Mr. Outside Residential himself.
That's probably more likely, actually.
Oh. So you were joking.
Yeah, it was not Dakota Fanning.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was totally like, I was with you on that. I was totally gullible.
Well, maybe that's a lie he should tell.
Maybe.
Featuring Dakota Fanning with Outside Residential. I'd go.
Oh, absolutely. So, speaking of our topic, what did you had a lot of interesting things to talk about, I seem to remember.
We're getting right into the ghosty part of the show, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting into the spookiness.
Should I hold this flashlight under my face?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Let me ask you this.
Should I turn off my flashlight?
No.
Okay.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, I do believe in ghosts. But I believe in ghosts in a way that actually quite a few people I was surprised to find out believe in ghosts. I believe that thing that happens when you see a musician that you really like and you feel their energy,
mm-hmm.
like it touches your soul, like it moves you and you like actually get like a physical hit by the performer. I think that that's the closest to defining what I think a ghost is.
So you've never had any kind of ghostly experience personally?
I guess I've had that feeling like something was there. I've never seen anything. I've never seen a ghost. I've never felt like I saw, you know, the spirit of a person or anything like that. I actually don't believe that, you know, what I would call a ghost, I don't believe that it actually is a dead person. I think it's just, like, the energy that comes from people.
Hmm.
Kind of like the dust in the Golden Compass. Like,
okay, yeah.
That's what I would think a ghost would be like.
Like residual energy.
Yeah, like, you know, how there's, like, hauntings and stuff where, like, somebody murdered everybody in the beds and everything. Mm-hmm. I think when people do violent stuff like that, it leaves, like, an energy thumbprint. I think you can feel it. I know that when we went to Salem, I remember the whole time just feeling really uncomfortable and not really wanting to be there. And everything seemed really gross. Like, not gross like it was dirty, but like the fact that they have a Samantha statue in the middle of their town.
A bewitched Samantha statue.
Like, this cartoon character smiling and winking with their witch history, when the fact of the matter is, you know, that's where a lot of people got brutally murdered, and they're kind of making light of it.
And remember, too, it was on the side of the police cars?
Yeah, yeah, they had, like, little witch silhouettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so everything was kind of like, it was just gross in that way. It had a really yucky energy. I didn't feel like I wanted to be there, and the whole time, I kept feeling really, really concerned for our car. Like, I wanted to go check on the car. I wanted to make sure nobody was breaking into the car, that nobody,
I remember that.
Nothing happened
yeah.
to the car. How long were we there? Like, half an hour. And this car comes plowing out of a parking garage and just slams into another parked car. Like, this car parallel parked on the side of the road. This car comes out of the parking lot, slams into it so hard that it, like, actually lifts onto the sidewalk, both of the side tires onto the sidewalk, and then the guy drives away. I feel like, you know, yeah, it's coincidence, but I also feel like I was able to feel some bad shit had happened there.
Yeah, I mean, specifically Salem, I felt weird there, too. We started off in a Catholic cemetery. I remember that I felt a migraine coming on, and I started to feel sick to my stomach, and I wanted to leave. And then we went into the town proper, and what troubled me about it was that there was two factions going on within Salem. One, it's totally a tourist town, and it's totally capitalizing and making money. It's like the Disneyfication of the witch trials, basically. And so, and it's very cheesy and silly, and there's wax museums and strange tours and stuff. So on the one hand, there's these people that are like winking and making a lot of money. And on the other hand, there's all these people saying, I am an authentic witch. I'm an authentic Wiccan, and I've come to live in Salem to educate you about what witches are really about. And I'm angry, and I've got a chip on my shoulder, and yeah. I'm here to show you that I've got a legitimate religion and that witches should have never been. So there's all this weird shit flying around, like all these subtexts. It was definitely thick in the air. It was thick. It was very weird.
Yeah, nobody seems real sincere and happy to be there.
Nobody, no. Yeah, there was no fancy free going on in Salem.
It's funny that it's just like two so different people, to me, feel like they're both entirely missing the point in opposite directions.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah, it just wasn't a nice place to be. I am skeptical about ghosts. I want to believe, just like, what was that show? The X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to believe. And I've actually had three sort of ghost experiences. And one was one where I was like 13, and I'd woken up in the middle of the night, and I could feel hands around my waist. I was laying on my stomach, and I could feel hands around my waist pulling me up, trying to pull me up out of the bed. I had a waterbed, too. So it was like, you know, movement was very, you could really feel it. And, you know, your blood turns to ice, the whole panic thing happens that they describe in the books and whatnot. As an adult, I suspect I was dreaming the whole thing.
Did your body actually move?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It didn't move very far, but I don't know, maybe an inch or an inch and a half, I'm suspecting.
And so now you're the way you settle that with yourself is you think that you were just having a very vivid dream.
Well, I mean, my body moves and I'm having a vivid dream. Like when I feel like when I'm falling asleep and I feel like I'm walking upstairs, my legs jerk as I wake myself up, afraid that I missed a stare, you know. So the movement does happen along with the dream. What ended up making it go away is I started to do the Lord's Prayer and it went away.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that is common in Filipino culture, and Cambodian people know about this too. I was asking around at the people at work what they believed in.
Yeah.
And one of the Filipino guys said that he felt a ghost pushing down on him, keeping him in bed, like pushing down on his chest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. He couldn't get up, couldn't move, couldn't make any noise. And the guy who told me that this happened to him also claims to have seen like a shadowy figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when he told the story, the Filipino girl who was there said, well, what you're supposed to do is wiggle your toes and try to scream, even though you can't. And that wiggling your toes and screaming will make the ghost let go of you.
Oh, wow.
And then my Cambodian friend said, that's called being pressed by a ghost. Happens all the time. So I called my other Cambodian friend, and she said, yeah, you're supposed to wiggle your toes and try to scream.
So, fantastic.
Yeah. So apparently the sensation of being pressed by a ghost is really common with Asian people, at least, but I don't know if the lifting by a ghost is as common.
There's a painting, a Gothic painting, of a woman laying in bed and a demon sitting on her chest, and he's putting pressure on, causing her to not be able to breathe.
What do you think that is?
I don't know.
Do you think, like, that's a health problem?
I don't know. But that's kind of what's interesting is, you know, you've got these Asian cultures where, you know, they've got ancestor worship and all these things that come together to construct a reality where ghosts are a very important part of everyday life, you know, because our ancestors talk to them as ghosts and advise them on what to do. And that's an important part of their belief system. And then you've got American culture, and actually 1/3 of Americans believe in ghosts, but we need proof. You know, we believe in it, but we need, you know, we're trying to explain it now with a medical, oh, there must be a medical reason. Or I tell myself, oh, I was probably sleeping and that's why I felt the way I felt. But if I grew up in an Asian culture, there would be absolutely no doubt that it was all true. Culture creates your reality. So if you really grew up steeped in it, unless you were westernized or...
Yeah, you'd probably buy into the ghosts.
My other experience is that I had a cat die. And when you own an animal that you let sleep with you, if you're laying in bed, you get really familiar with the feeling of when the animal jumps at the foot of the bed and then its little paw prints and the weight of it coming up and then laying down next to you. And so after my cat died one morning, I felt the cat jump at the base of the bed, come up, walk up, and lay next to me. And I was awake in the morning. That was very weird.
So that was not a dream either.
Well, psychologists say that your mind, when you love somebody like a family member or relative, can't really initially accept the fact that they're gone. And so you will think out of the corner of your eye that you see them walk by, or you'll think that you're experiencing them. Your mind will recreate that for you, according to psychology, will create an experience like they're still around to fill in for you the hole, the missing feelings that you're having. So, you know, again, if I wanted to be American and explain it, then that's what I would say.
It sounds like you do want to be American because you said you're having problems believing in ghosts.
Well, the thing is that I want a verbal communication or a visual. I want to see them. You know, I just want to doubt it. You know what I mean? Because I'm also very excited by it, and I want to have proof that there's this magic out there, these amazing, wonderful things after we're dead, that would be wonderful to have that proof that there's something there after we die.
Well, now, a lot of people believe that if you believe in the ghost a lot, you won't see it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, like, I
thought it was the other way around.
You know, I thought that too, but the people that I've been talking to, a lot of people seem to believe that you don't get to see ghosts unless you don't really want to see ghosts, because otherwise, if you believe in them, they won't present themselves to you. What I've heard that Chinese people believe is that the only people who can see ghosts are people with weak spirits.
Oh, wow.
So, and I don't even know exactly what that means.
I don't
to
either.
Have a weak spirit. And
yeah.
When I started asking about, you know, what that meant, the person who told me also went on to tell me that Chinese people also say that, you know, your spirit gets darker when you go to funerals. So if you go to a lot of funerals, it starts making your spirit darker. So I think that that makes you more likely to see ghosts.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because in China, people wear white to funerals. And the reason why they wear white to funerals is so that the ghosts don't see them.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so it would make sense that if their spirit got darker, there would be concern that the ghosts could see them.
Oh, what an interesting little tidbit you were able to fill in.
Yeah, yeah, I just happen to know that the color of mourning is white, actually, in China. You know, I'm supposed to give gifts in Asian cultures a lot. In Japan and China, you don't ever want to give a white gift. Because that's like giving a black gift. Although, you know, in America, that's cool right now to be dark and gothic. But anyway, the last experience is kind of more of a spirit guide and less of a ghost kind of experience. And that would be the first time I ever got stoned. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I've been stoned before. I was sitting and looking at my friend who was talking to me. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see somebody sitting at the base of a tree because we were in a forested area. And when I turned my eyes to look at the base of the tree, the form would slowly dissipate. But when I went back to look at my friend, the form would come back.
So you could only see it when you weren't looking directly at it.
Right. It was in my field of vision, you know, sort of like at a 45-degree angle kind of thing. Like, you know it's there, but you can't really look at it unless you turn your head and look. And then it's not like it would just blank dissipate. It would slowly fade away.
Did you have some sort of guess as to what that might be?
Yeah, I thought it was a spirit guide.
Like it was trying to guide you?
Well, I think you know, people say there are angels or, you know, spirits or other realms of consciousness that are around people, and people that are really into all that telekinetic, telepathic stuff or whatever. You know, they say, like, especially in California, everybody's all wacky. So I've met people who've been like, oh, I see many balls of light around you. Oh, you have many spirits, you know, watching over you. And people are always saying that shit to you in California. But yeah, I think that was like, somebody watching over me.
What did it look like?
It was a Native American man, and he would vary from being very, very young to very, very old.
For me to believe that a ghost is actually a dead person or a spirit, mm-hmm. like the way that people normally think of it, I would have to have a ghostly encounter.
Yeah.
I would have to, like, there's no way that was anything besides a ghost that just fucking came out and did something. Like, I want to see fucking Ghostbuster ghosts.
Exactly. You know? Yes, exactly. Like poltergeist ghosts.
Yeah,
you
like,
know?
I want to see the forks fucking sliding across the floor.
Uh-huh.
Shit like that, you know?
But what would you do if you did see that?
I don't know. Like, I'd be happy that there was a ghostly confirmation. I guess I'd really have to take a look at what I believe about, you know, what happens when you die. It would raise a lot of questions.
I'd pee my pants. I'd be so scared.
Yeah, but how long would you be scared, really?
Well, it depends upon how long the ghost was there with me, I guess.
You'd be scared the whole time? You wouldn't finally get to a place where you're like... You remember the beginning of Poltergeist? How they're, like, sliding on the floor?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, this is really fun. This is kind of cool. You know what I mean?
I guess I always assumed I'd be by myself when I saw the ghost thing that I believed that was the proof I needed. And I would really want to be around other living people to feel comforted. And if I was around other people, like if it was you and I in the room, maybe eventually I would start to feel less scared about it. But
you've met people, though, who claim to have ghosts that, like, are totally cool with it, right?
Yeah, I've heard ghost stories, people saying there are ghosts in their house and stuff. I don't know if they're totally cool with it, but, you know, they talk about the things that happen in their houses that are unusual. You know, there was a time when I was so excited about ghosts, and I was actually even thinking of going to school and trying to get some sort of degree that would get me into the field of paranormal psychology so I could be a Ghostbuster. You know, this is when I was like 18 years old or something.
When
you were
18, did you believe that you were actually going to find ghosts?
Well, I wanted to find ghosts.
Yeah, that'd be
I still
pretty cool.
want to find ghosts, but I didn't, you know, I don't want to devote all my waking time to it like I used to want to.
You know who would be happy to find a ghost?
Hmm.
The Russians have a little ghost, little spirit.
They do.
That lives inside of their stove.
Oh, and really?
Yeah. Now, a lot of these are supposed to be the ancestors of either the people who used to live in the house,
uh-huh.
or sometimes it's ancestors of the family who's there now. They look like little hairy guys.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you grow, like, all this facial hair, and, like, they look like little hairy monster dudes. And apparently they're very hot-tempered. If you use too many cuss words, if you don't keep the house clean, if you do anything to upset them in any way, they will burn your house down. They will burst your house into flames. They're called domovoi.
I love Russia.
Domovoi. And you want them, they have a chant where you can go outside and you can chant for them to come into your house, to come watch over your house. So, yes, they are very passionate, fiery, burn your house down, bad dudes. But also, on the other hand, you want them because it's comforting to have somebody watching over the house, you know, and they can protect you and stuff.
That's cool. Hey, you remember how you were saying that you think that what a lot of people experience is like residual energy from an emotional, violent death event or whatever that's just sort of still present?
Yeah.
I agree with you about that, actually. But I don't think that's a ghost. I think you're right. I think it might just be energy. But I also think that people attribute it to ghosts, but it may be the energy of the living. Like, you don't have to be dead. Do you know what I mean?
No, I believe that.
Like, I think if I lived in this apartment for 10 years and was unhappy and depressed the entire time and, like, suicidal, but I'm still alive, but I moved out, like, the next person who comes in, it's going to feel like a ghost to them, but it's just, you know, like, the walls have, like, absorbed my energy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally believe that. That's what I would call a ghost, is that feeling. You know, just about every culture has some sort of cleansing ritual or... You know, like you can burn sage and that
yeah.
kind of thing
yeah,
to cleanse out the old energy.
Yeah, when we move to Portland, we're going to do that in the new apartment.
Right.
I did it when I moved in here.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to do just from time to time, you know, just to kind of like start with nice, clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's actually kind of close to what my friend Maymuna was telling me. She's a Muslim from Ethiopia. And they believe in the jinn.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually in the Quran. So this is something that all Muslims believe, is that there are these things called the jinn. I believe that's the correct plural, is jinn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's J-I-N-N. And the way she described it was like, it's a presence, it's an energy, it's not a dead person, it's not people, it is a separate kind of being. Like, there's humans and there's these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take any form they want. They don't have to look like people. If you see a ghost that looks like your grandfather, that's a djinn taking the shape of your grandfather and visiting you as a ghost.
That's interesting.
But she says that it's just like energy. So, like, if you are in front of a djinn, or if there's djinn in the room, which they're everywhere, and you get into a fight, and the anger escalates to a point where it goes beyond what's inside of your capacity.
Uh-huh.
And, like, let's say, like, you and I got into an argument, and then I decked you.
Yeah.
That's because the djinn took over and, like, enraged further.
See, we would attribute that to the devil possessing us, but... yeah, that's interesting.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that she was saying, you know, Muslims have these things called the jinn, but every religion has their version of it. Every religion talks about it, but they call it different things. They use different words. I mean, certainly the Catholics believe in ghosts. They have the Holy Ghost, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that is, like, the divine energy on
mm-hmm.
earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, the whole thing with the demons, like, that's another form of the djinn, is these demons that possess people and do the exorcism and all that stuff goes on in, like, Haiti and, you know, what was that movie we saw where they were exorcising all those black people? I think they were, like, they were exorcising all these people from, like, the Dominican Republic or something.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, where was that? It might have been Haiti.
Yeah.
They were doing it in China, too.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah, but I don't remember the details.
We saw some documentary, and I think mm-hmm. it was about Santeria.
I don't know.
But yeah, you know, so like, I would venture to guess that almost all religions believe within the context of the religion that there are ghosts.
The Buddhists have something called the hungry ghosts, but I don't have all the details about it. But, you know, when you die in Buddhism, you get reborn. And if you're a very bad person, you for a while live in a realm called the realm of the hungry ghosts. You guys have to look it up on the internet because I don't remember all the details about it. I just know those are the ghosts that I know about the Buddhists have.
So as far as you know, the hungry ghost is the ghost on Pac-Man.
Maybe that's where that all came from.
Right, right. It's him with the realm of the hungry ghost.
Yeah, Buddhism spread to Japan, so yeah, maybe.
One of the things that I've been asking is what people think ghosts look like. What do they look like when you look at them? Now, most people seem to think that they're translucent, and you can't see them at all. They're invisible. But most people seem to agree that they are things that like you can see through them. You can
ethereal. Kind
yes,
of, yeah.
Exactly. Most people say that they look like humans. They look no different than humans. And as a matter of fact, one person that I talked to believed that they're just like regular people that walk around. Mm-hmm. Like they just are, you know, you're in the mall, one out of those 100 and some people might be a ghost just walking around.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fun.
I asked a little kid what she thought ghosts were. This little girl who's like 10 years old. And she told me that they're just like regular people, except their faces are all burned.
Oh, she probably got that from the movies, though. You see that a lot in movies these days.
People with burned faces?
Yeah, like their eyes are burned out and their mouths are open, gaping open and black, and there's black running out of their eyes and stuff.
You think that's where she got that?
I suspect. I don't know what burned means to her. Maybe it means, you know, like she's seen serious flesh burns and she thinks that it looks like somebody with third-degree burns. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, when I imagined it, I just saw their whole face like the end of a match. Like, it was totally burned out or something.
Oh. Well, see? We went where we went with it, but who knows what she was thinking.
Oh, you know what? I know why you can't see a ghost if you want to see a ghost.
Let's hear it.
Because that was one of the Chinese things. How they said only people with weak spirits can see ghosts.
Yeah.
So as soon as you want to see the ghost, you... You're exerting your will. You're not scared or vulnerable. You're not vulnerable enough to take in a ghost. If your spirit is too assertive, then you can't see them.
I can totally buy into that. Actually, I think that makes perfect sense. So, have you ever heard about the haunted eBay items?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the haunted eBay items.
They're really fun to look at. They're very entertaining, although. These days, it's mostly a proliferation of haunted rings and voodoo dolls.
Have you looked recently to see
what... I did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, like, if you typed in haunted into eBay, you could find, like, a few dolls or mm-hmm. things like that. It seems like now, if you type in the word haunted, you'll have to scroll through, like, 1,000 pages of haunted stuff. Is that accurate, or is that not accurate?
Well, it seems like there's at least a couple hundred listings up at any given time. And you know what's amazing about the listings is that usually it's like the description is like 10 pages long and it's all in all capital letters and big font and the colors change and lots of words are misspelled.
Yeah,
that's what I mean, that's what I love about them, is you're reading them going, man, this person did not go to school.
The thing that I really liked, there was one that we were following. Was it like Haunted Harold or something?
Haunted Harold is a very famous one.
Yeah, and it was this doll that had been sold like 5 or 6 times back and forth. And what was cool about the listing is that it would get daily updates.
Yes, that's right. The person would go in. And you could also link back to a website where other people had their experiences recorded. And if you Google Haunted Harold, you can see pictures of him. Haunted Harold is very famous, and when he does go up on eBay, he goes for, I think he went for several thousand dollars, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember he went way up
yeah.
When we were watching it, when it was actually live. And the guy who had posted it was doing those daily posts, and he says, you know, today I don't know what happened, but I put Haunted Harold over there, and he appeared over here later. There used to be a video on his eBay listing.
Yes, you can see the video if you Google it, yeah, of him moving.
Yeah, and it's just, should I tell what it is? Or
yeah, go ahead.
So Harold is sitting there on the couch, and it's just like, you know how, like, when you play the video recorder and there's no sound, but it kind of sounds like...
Yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah. So you hear that sound, and then you just see his little hand, his tiny little hand just move like a fraction of an inch. It just goes...
Uh-huh.
But, like, as you're watching it, like, okay, it's stop motion, right? But as you're watching it... Your heart just skips the tiniest little beat the second his hand moves. He's like, holy fuck.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that if you actually spend time with reading these listings, you know, you start off feeling skeptical, but then, like, you kind of get pulled into their kind of paranoid frame of mind. And by the time you get to page 10, like, you feel really weird and you feel kind of freaked out, and they've gone into all these details and they've told you this story. And
yeah,
it's almost like, in a way, it's almost like it comes through the computer at you, you know, like if they were mentally ill, it's like you start to kind of get a little taste of that.
So that's kind of like the best of both worlds. That's kind of like our definition of a ghost and the, you know, the Webster dictionary definition of a ghost.
I have seen an actual house for sale on eBay that's a haunted house that they had claimed was haunted, you know, somebody's home that had spirits. And I've seen for sale on eBay a haunted house that's like, you go to, it was at Niagara Falls. And, you know, it's like one of the amusements. You can go and buy the haunted house amusement. And that was for sale on eBay.
Wow.
No.
Well, you know, where we live, if driving up north, there's the Winchester house.
Yes.
That you can go into. And I guess that lady believed that she had ghosts all over her house. They were all over. And I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Winchester house. Well, maybe you should tell me what it's like then, because I've only seen it on television. I've never actually been there.
It's actually really gorgeous. And it's an immensely huge house, and there's just creepy stuff going on. Like, there's numbers repeat. You know, there's 13 flowers in the stained glass. There's 13 steps here. All these numbers meant something for her. She's clearly, like, really paranoid.
Well,
and stairways that are built up into the ceiling that go nowhere that are meant to confuse the ghosts, and doorways that open up into, you know, empty space. And
yeah, so, like that. Yeah, one of the big things is that she had to keep changing her house and adding on to it that the ghosts would get confused. And there's like doors that go out of the wall out into like the yard from like the second story.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, the thing is that it was the Winchester rifle is why it's a Winchester house. And she believed that anybody had ever been killed by the Winchester rifle were the ghosts that were after her. So deep sense of guilt that woman had. My other favorite thing that was haunted on eBay that I saw is a haunted coffee maker.
I remember that.
And actually, it's coffeepotghost.com. The guy's still got the coffee maker. You can read up about his experiences with. But right now, I believe, on eBay, you can buy a statue of Jesus that contains Jesus. You can buy Jesus Christ. He's up for about $3,000 right now.
I don't understand.
It's a statue of Jesus, and the ghost that inhabits it is Jesus.
Well, I mean, he's God, so I guess he can do that. all right. Why not?
One of my favorite books that I read recently is about a rock star, sort of like Marilyn Manson kind of rock star, and he buys a haunted eBay item that really is haunted, and it starts to haunt him. Like once he brings the object into his house, and then he's pursued by it.
Yeah, this is a book you read?
Yeah, it's a book. It's called Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill, and it's actually a really good book. So anyway, I love haunted eBay items. Sometimes I think, you know, I always want to do a joke one. Like, I wanted to do, like, my shoelaces are haunted. They keep coming untied, and I'm falling down all the time, and, you know, I've broken my teeth off. And
or you could do one where it just says, like, haunted in quotes. Right. Haunted shoelace. And just kind of leave it like, well, it's up to you to decide. You know, they come untied quite a lot.
It's ambiguous. It's very ambiguous. I've seen a haunted shoe is listed up right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to claim that they're haunted per se.
Yeah, yeah. But, I know, it's always weird like that.
But
you know?
Mysterious things have been happening.
You know what's weird, though, too, is the people who sell this shit, they're all witches, by the way, from a long line of witches.
Oh, really?
That's on there a lot. But you read the comments of the people who've bought their stuff, and the people are like, it worked immediately, thanks. Oh, it really is haunted, thank you. Like, all their comments say, like, there's not anybody going, you hornswoggled me. Everybody who gets their shit, they're always like, it was so powerful. Thank you. The spell worked. Or,
you know what it is?
No, I don't know what.
They want to resell it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's like a vicious cycle. It's like a weird, one of those weird
pyramid
schemes. Yeah,
it's like a
crazy
pyramid of scary things.
Well, I got a lot of old shit here in this house. And I tell you what, I can have a haunted cigar box if I wanted.
Yeah, we could sell some of those.
A porcelain doll.
We could sell some of those masks that we picked up and
yeah,
say that they were haunted.
From Guatemala. They've yeah, been, you know, bad things have been happening ever
all
since
gotta,
we got them.
Yeah, all you got to do is say, like, from Central America.
Yes.
Yeah, that haunted stuff is awesome. I think that's one of the best things internet has brought us.
I had a temptation for a little while, I have to tell you, where I wanted to, like, if they looked like creepy dolls and people were saying they were haunted, like, I wanted to start collecting these eBay dolls that were supposed to be haunted, because I figured if I amassed enough of them, maybe one of them really would be. Or at least it'd be a fun anecdote to tell my friends when they came over for dinner. Oh, these are all my haunted eBay dolls. Yeah.
What a weird world we live in.
Oh, it's nuts. It's totally nuts.
I guess Talking Tina was the first one, the first haunted doll. What are some of your favorite movies about ghosts?
Well, Christine is a movie about a haunted car.
Yeah.
Which, I like the book better. The Shining is one of my favorite movies about ghosts.
There you go. My favorite ghost movies that feel like the way I think that a ghost would be,
mm-hmm,
The Others.
Yeah, oh, that's on my list for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if everybody's seen that, but it's got Nicole Kidman in it, and there's some weird, spooky, ghosty stuff that happens. And, you know, the other thing about that movie is, like, it's very atmospheric, moody kind of ghost story.
Yes, yes.
And it's got that kind of spooky, like, scary religious thing going on in it also.
Yeah, very well-constructed ghost story, for sure.
Yeah, another one that's real good, The Orphanage.
Oh, yeah.
That movie we just saw.
Yeah, that's, everybody should go see. That's an amazing movie. I don't care if you don't like subtitles. Suck it up.
What was cool about The Orphanage is that it was very different than a lot of ghost movies that I've
mm-hmm,
seen.
Yeah.
But it felt right. Like, it felt like this is what the people who tell folklore, this is what they had in mind.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. I agree.
I think, yeah, and I think that gets the closest to, like, what, like, a classic ghost story feels like. It actually had one of the coolest seance scenes in a movie that I've ever seen.
I enjoyed that, too. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's always a medium involved.
Mm-hmm.
Poltergeist is one of my favorites. Classic ghost movie.
That I've got to say, that's got to be one of the movies that scared the shit out of me.
Scared the fucking pants off of me, too. Yeah. I loved The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
It really It felt like a murder mystery
mm-hmm,
and a ghost story. You know, I think that it captured it. One of the movies that I think are the most fun is Beetlejuice.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Ghostbusters.
What I really like about Beetlejuice is that was like Tim Burton really took the conventions of what a ghost story was and put it on its ear. But, you know, he didn't really go anywhere real new. It just presented in such like a creative sort of way.
Yeah, yeah. There's a movie that came out in the 70s called The Changeling, and it's very, very creepy, kind of psychological kind of ghost story, and you have to be patient with it. You know, there's not spooky stuff that happens until probably about three quarters through the movie. But oh, it's really good. It's really good.
If you were a ghost, what kind of ghost do you think you would be?
I would want to be the kind of ghost that's a nuisance, but like not big nuisance things. Like, I wouldn't want actually people to feel like their lives were in danger. I just kind of want to annoy them.
I'd want them to scare people at least a little bit. Like, I would laugh at them, and like, you know, especially, oh, if they're at home and they're all by themselves and they start jerking off, I turn on the radio and start laughing at them.
That's really mean.
Yeah, maybe that's like an evil spirit.
You never hear about that, though. You never hear that somebody has encountered a ghost while engaging in a sexual act, either with themselves or another person.
Oh, sure. There's a kind of ghost. There's a classification of ghosts. You know how there's like different classifications. There's a poltergeist, which is like the prankster, and there's a phantasm, which is like it terrorizes you. I don't remember what the name of this kind of ghost is, but there is a specific kind of ghost that floats down and fucks you.
Oh, it's a succubus.
Yeah, so there's sexy ghost stories.
Well, I know of them, but I've never met anybody who's like, oh yeah, a ghost fucked me the other night, or... Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't hear personal stories about that.
Probably the kind of shit people want to keep to themselves.
I don't know. I know plenty of people who talk about the other sex shit. Why wouldn't they talk about their ghost sex stories, you know?
I don't know. Maybe that's just crossing the line for them. Like, oh man, when I tell them about the time I fucked a ghost, I'm going to sound like I'm, like, they'll never believe that I banged that hot chick.
You know what I think? I think the succubus comes around when society and culture is going through like a Victorian age where sexuality is really, 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 really repressed. And then there's like, oh, well, it was a succubus happened to me. And that's how I was able to express, you know. Seriously, that's what I think. I think that they happened back in the Victorian times.
Do you think that's like a nocturnal emission?
Maybe.
Like that's succubus comes from like dudes having wet dreams.
Yeah, there you go.
You remember my friend Jylene that I mentioned in an earlier episode?
Yes.
This is Jylene's ghost story.
Okay.
Her father in the Philippines
saw
a guy in his yard. He somehow knew that this was a ghost. And he told the guy, you got to get out of here. You got to leave. And the guy doesn't leave. And he says, you have to get out of here. And the guy doesn't leave. And he pulls out he goes and he gets a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a true story, right? And he shoots the guy.
Wow.
And he runs out there and there's nothing there. And when Jylene told me the story, she was like, and my dad never says that he was a ghost, but he was like, I shot him, but there was nothing there. He was never there. You know, like,
and that's the tone of the ghost story.
Yeah,
you
like,
know,
you know, like, we don't talk about the fact that Tony's in the mafia, but he took care of business.
Right. Yeah.
Well, here's the other interesting thing about the Filipino ghost is she was telling me, you know, those things that are like half men, half horse.
Yeah.
And I was like, centaurs? And she's like, okay, yeah, I guess. But half man, half horse is one of the kind of ghosts that they can have in the Philippines.
Cool.
The one that her dad shot was one of these centaur things. Now, quick little follow up to that story. Kylene's father, Jylene's father, has a little tumor on her arm where he was holding the gun when he shot the ghost, and it keeps coming back. So apparently he kind of attributes to the fact that he believes he's cursed.
Cool.
Do you have any ghost stories that you know of that happened to any of your friends or anything?
Well, one Halloween I was working at a coffee house and I decided to make it my personal project where if people came in to order coffee and we weren't too busy, I would ask them if they lived in Long Beach and if their house was haunted or if they had had a ghost story. And a lot of people had ghost stories, but I don't remember many of them. So I can't tell you any of them now.
Well,
sorry.
Tell you, one time one of my friends was on the Queen Mary, and she claims that she was walking up the stairs. It was a night, just like tonight. She was coming down the stairs on the Queen Mary. She was there on a tour, had gotten separated from her group.
Uh-huh.
She walked to the top of the stairs, and she was not wearing heels. She had taken them off because she had been drinking. And then before she cleared the last step, she got pushed down the stairs. Now, she could attribute that to the fact that she was just drunk. But she was totally alone, and after she fell, she heard a door open and close and a little kid laughing.
Wow.
Why would I make that up? Why would anybody make that up?
Oh, I do. I have a Queen Mary ghost story.
You know how kids do that at the
I
end
know,
of the ghost
they do
story.
That. I know.
It's just so, it's so boring. Nobody would make that up. That's how you know it's real.
I had a roommate who was a waiter. There's a very fancy restaurant on the Queen Mary, and he was a waiter. And he said that always at the end of the night when they were cleaning up and all the customers had left and they were going about, you know, finishing up all their last duties to leave. And it's usually, I imagine it's like 2 or 3 a.m. and they're fucking really tired. But he said, he's like, no, it is haunted because cupboards open and dishes fly across the room. I believed he had seen it. He believed he had seen it. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. when somebody is like that sure that they had seen that, it's kind of hard to deny it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Chantha's husband, Nyut, claims that he used to be able to see dead people all the time. Like, he could see ghosts walking around. Mm. He was a seer of ghosts. And apparently he hasn't been able to see them since they got together. He stopped having his sixth sense. But he says that he actually felt a ghost push him. Like, he's been pushed by a ghost before.
Wow.
Yes.
I want to be pushed. Maybe someday.
It's probably just like, you know, chest pains. Like, it's a minor heart attack.
His heartburn is a pizza I ate.
So anyway, that's our spooky episode of The Ruckus.
You know what's especially spooky about this episode?
What?
You people are listening to this episode, but we are in London right now.
Yeah, when you hear this episode, we are speaking to you from beyond the grave.
We will have transgressed the space-time continuum.
No, we've actually not necessarily beyond the grave, but beyond the continent. We are now in London. Right now, Rachel is having a pint, and I'm getting punched in the head. Apparently, they don't like it when you speak politics over there. And tomorrow, we're going to go climb Big Ben, or whatever it is you do in London. So we're in London right now, and I'm sure that we were having a fucking blast. I set this to get published while we are gone, so hopefully if everything turns out correctly, you will be hearing this episode in the middle of the week, so we will still be a weekly show, and you will still be able to get to hear it.
Oh my God. What if this ends up being a real episode from beyond the grave because we die in a fiery plane crash?
Ooh. And it'll still get out there because I'll have the little calendar setting.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be creepy.
Yeah.
Well, and we will haunt you all.
I feel like I should say something. Wait, I have one more ghost story I have to tell you.
Okay, editing nightmare, go ahead.
Okay. One time my Aunt Terry was at my Uncle Raul's house. And I guess nobody was there, and she went into the bedroom, and she heard a knock on the door, and she knew nobody was there. So she goes and she checks, and there's nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the creepy part. Years later, she's talking to my Uncle Raul. You know, they're telling, like, ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, one time I had a ghost experience right here at your house. And she explains the story.
Yeah.
My Aunt Irene was there.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, bonehead, that was me. I came over to see if you were still there. So here it is like 20 years later, and she totally thought she had a ghost experience her whole life.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the punchline to every one of your ghost stories.
It's Amen.
It's my Aunt Irene turning on and off your radio.
Well, if any of you guys have your own ghost stories, if you have thoughts to share, we invite you to post a comment on our blog about that, because we like to hear from you and we like hearing ghost stories.
We sure do. What is the blog address, Rachel?
I don't know. What is it, Justin?
www.theruckus.wordpress.com. And our email is startaruckus@gmail.com. And also, everybody, please take a look at our MySpace page, because I worked very hard on it recently, and I think it's starting to look pretty cool.
It looks bootyful.
Well, thank you. That's our show.
Go start a ruckus. Maybe the devil should say it.
It's a ruckus number 12.
Maybe the count.
Blah, it's a ruckus number 12. Like that. Blah, blah.
I like that.
Or it could be the other song from Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Do, 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 da, 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 da.
No. Episode 12. Well, I think we got plenty of material now. You could just pick which one you liked best.
It's a jolly holiday for the Ruckus.
Makes you feel so right.
When the day is gray and ordinary,
Mary makes the sun shine bright.
We need to link to that Scary Mary trailer.
Oh, hell
so
yeah.
That everybody can see that.
No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
That's my favorite part of that movie.